This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 18th, episode 1571, brought to you today by our friends at Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together and let the good times roll. Don't sit there lonely.
Well, Jamie, I have a question for you. And this is a very important question. Do you know what coprolite is?
I was going to say, no matter what, the answer is probably no, but I was not expecting that. What is coprolite?
Coprolite is fossilized feces. That's right.
Again, was not expecting that.
It's old poop. So now the reason I bring this up is it was a very exciting announcement yesterday, and he is representing the state of Florida, of course, in Bradenton, which isn't too far from us. George Franson has now entered the Guinness World Book of Records for the 2017 edition with his largest collection in the world of coprolite. Yes, he collects fossilized feces. Poop. He collects old poop.
So there's a dude in Florida that's like entered the Guinness Book of World Record for having the most fossilized crap.
Yes. And he has amassed an amazing 1,277 pieces of prehistoric poo since he began his collection. And he began it when he was a paleontology student in college. He has been doing this. He's 36 years old now. He's collected poop from 15 states and 8 countries worldwide. His prize piece of poop is his largest piece of poop, which is 4 pounds, 3.5 ounces, and he has named it, wait for it, Precious. Yes.
My Precious.
He has named it Precious.
Where did this poop come from?
That particular...
Who poops out 4 pounds?
A huge crocodile species that lived 5.3 million years ago. So that's where that came from, at least, you know, scientists are guessing. By the way, coprolites, unlike the poo we deal with every day, which we try and get rid of and not collect, coprolites are as hard as rock and they have no smell. However, I did see a picture of his particular collection, and it kind of looks like poop. Like
it just looks like a whole pile
frozen
of
poop. Yes, that's what it kind
of
looks
like. 1,200 pieces of
yes.
poop. Well, congratulations to George Franson for making his way into the Guinness Book of World Records, because that is the kind of Guinness Book of World Record people talk about.
It is. And, you know, it's making the news everywhere. Now, my question for you is, could you marry a man if Chad on the airplane, when you met that day and he told you how cool he was because he was a fighter pilot and all of that, and handsome and good looking. Okay, yeah. So if he says, hey, Jamie, I'm a cool fighter pilot, but I also have 1,277 pieces of prehistoric poop in my collection in my living room, what would you have done?
Listen, I already told him this. He is a very good-looking fighter pilot that was from Arizona. And when he said he was from Arizona, in my mind, I was like, yeah, I could do Arizona because I lived in Georgia. Now, I've already told him that there are many states that if he had said, I live in blank, I would have been like, nice to meet you. Have a great weekend.
Like North Dakota. Sorry for everybody up there, but it's a little cold.
Well, there's a base in Fargo, and we've already talked about, like, I'm a, you don't take a girl from Georgia and put her up in Fargo,
They're
North Dakota.
They're having a blizzard today.
bless their hearts. You guys, you can get out. You don't have to live there. Anyway, my point is that there were many smaller things that would have been deal breakers. This would have been a rather large deal breaker.
You're so biased toward poop. You deal with poop every day. We deal with poop more than the average person deals with poop.
We take it out. We don't hoard it.
He has little cases for his most precious. We don't precious name, as a case.
We don't name the poop.
Do you think he's married? I tried to look that up. I could not figure out whether he was married.
Oh, dear God. I need to find that out.
He's actually not a bad looking guy. In the pictures, and if there, I put a link to the article there. You can actually see his picture. Go there and take a look at it. He's dressed in his best Indiana Jones outfit. Do you think?
Well, you know what? And that changes things. Like, he is a paleontologist. So it's not like he's like this random dude that collects poop. Like, he goes to garage sales looking for
He's a
like,
professional poop collector.
He's a professional poop inspector collector. I need to know if he's married.
I don't know. I don't know, but you can check out the link. And I don't think he's a bad looking guy, as guys go. I don't think he's a bad looking guy, but a little strange.
I don't think you're any judge of that.
I don't think so either. Jennifer, while she's checking out George, the paleontologist poop collector, what's coming up on today's show?
No. When you're holding, I mean, this is poop.
It does
this
look like
rocks.
Poop.
This is like, oh, God, no, no, no. He's not a good looking guy either, especially when, no. Okay, sorry. Move on.
The Indiana Jones outfit doesn't do it for you?
Yeah, no. Okay, we need to post this on our Horses in the Morning page. Can you post this, Glenn?
I will post it, yes.
Oh, goodness. That's disgusting. Oh, my stomach hurts. I got to change it. Oh.
You know, for horse people and a good lady with stinky chickens, you'd think you would have more tolerance towards the poop lovers of the world. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, the most talked about Kickstarter horse product in recent memory, the Megasus Horse Runners. Takes the premier spot
that might be
on the
in
show
history.
Today.
It's just the most
and
in history.
Louisa will be answering all of your questions. That's right. We had a whole lot of listeners submit questions about horse runners, and we're going to have her answer them so we know everything we need to know. And then after the break, we are going to dive down the rabbit hole of irony, sarcasm, and poor grammar that is really bad ads.
Do you know how I'm doing the special episodes every once in a while now on Stable Scoop, where I just talk to whoever the hell I want to?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to have anything to do with horses. I'm going to talk to Poop Man next. What do you think?
Okay.
I should get Poop Guy on. I should.
We all have goals. We all have goals.
I'm living the dream here, Jamie. I am living the dream.
It looks like he's holding giant turds.
It does. You know, I could do that in person. Bradenton's not that far, is it, Jennifer? That's like not too far from here. I could go see the poop collection and
do the daily
interview in person.
I'm tired of talking about the poop. I'm tired of it.
My Daily Winnie goes out to our new auditors. Thank you so much to Danielle Rigby, Joy Dorsch, Yvonne Dyer, and Bethany Bartoloni. Thank you guys so much for becoming auditors. We really appreciate it. We know you enjoy the auditor room. If you're not there yet, just search for HRN Auditors on Facebook and hit request, and they'll check you out and accept you.
They'll bet you.
Make sure you're legal. And there you go. So thank you very much to all of them.
All right. Well, I have two, but we may run out of time. So I'll just do one for now, and I'll use the second one as a news story, Glenn, because this is not a news story. It's news flash. Zeus is a monster. My Mustang Zeus is a monster. He is one of the most fun horses I've ever ridden. But when thinking about adopting a Mustang, understand that I only have one of each. I have a wild born and a facility born, which Zeus is a facility born, which means that his mother was captured pregnant. And he was born in a holding facility, which means he was just born in captivity, but like in a little small pen. And I figure he was there for 6 years. So I figure he has 6 years of how to entertain himself kind of trapped in there. 6 years. So yesterday, I'm out when my mom is visiting and we're out running errands and I get a phone call from Chad. You may want to just keep an eye on Zeus when you get home.
What'd he do now?
What?
Did he eat a chicken?
No. Almost. Pretty close. So we have these stalls that you just lift up the thing and slide it across and put it down. Well, he's learned how to open those. So then we welded. Chad got his welder out. And welded a chain that is a carabiner snap.
Wait a minute. We can't go beyond that. Chad is a welder. Chad knows how to weld.
He's the kind of guy that like figures it out. So he got a generator and like a welder and he like figured it out. And so he welded chains with carabiner snaps that go across. Well, Zeus immediately learned how to open the gate, whatever. So we put the carabiner snaps on it. Clip. He now opens the carabiner snaps. So now what I've resorted to doing is taking lead ropes and tying it around the stalls. This is a real pain in the ass when you're trying to like go get your horse. You have to go through 15 security levels to get the horse out of the stall. So you have to take the lead rope and you knot it and then you square knot it and tie it tight. Okay. And there's three stalls that are on that section and they all have back doors. So Zeus goes, I leave his back door open because it goes open the pasture. I'm like, I don't even try to pin him in anymore, but he will leave his back door, go to Thor's back door, open Thor's back door, walk through Thor's stall
to play with.
And then, then he opens Thor's stall and lets them both out. So, and then the pony's in with them too. So he gets out or he'll go to the pony stall. And so now I have six levels of security to where I have all three of the front stalls closed, clipped, and tied either with baling twine or with lead ropes. And then on the backside, because you can't do a chain with like a D snap because he opens D snaps, I now have to tie the two of the back stalls as well. So bringing horses in and turn them out takes forever because of this monster horse that I have. So yesterday he opened his latch, unsnapped the carabiner snap, took the lead rope, untied it, double knotted, square knotted, by the way, and pulled it. So Chad says, you may want to keep an eye on Zeus. Oh, God. What did he do now? He let himself out. Did you remember to tie his stall? I'm like, it was clipped, it was closed, and it was tied. He goes, well, that's I kind of figured you did because I found the lead rope destroyed in his stall. So he unclipped, unsnapped, and then took the lead rope, untied the lead rope, pulled it in, played with that for a little while, destroyed it, then opened his door and left the stall. And, you know, all my horse grain is locked up. Like they can have access, but they're trash cans and they've got clips on them. Well, the chicken feed was not locked all the way up. So he ate about 10 pounds of chicken feed before he got bored of that. And left and destroyed several bales of hay that he had access to, pulled, you know, popped strings, then was walking around. So he's like, yeah, you just may want to check on him. I have no idea how much chicken feed he ate. Of course, I just put a brand new bag in there and it was, you know. So there you go, you big jerk. So, of course, then I'm like, well, we got to get moving. So I put him, I hopped on Thor and ponied Zeus and we went for a long trot. I was like, you're going to have to go. We got to get this. You got to get your gut moving. Cause it was like an hour and a half by the time I got home. It's too late to call the vet. I'm like, we better start moving. You did this to yourself, you big jerk face. Get on the lead rope. Let's go. Dually halter intact. Boom. We're out.
Horses like that don't get sick. They don't get sick. No.
He'll live to 42 years old.
That's right. He's never going to die. He's going to be tormenting you and crying for freedom for 40 years.
Oh, my God. It's good that he's fun to ride. And I love the hell out of that horse. It is a good thing that he is fun. Because if Jet did this to me, he'd been gone. Because Jet wasn't fun to ride.
Zeus. He's such a character. have one of those, Jamie. We all have one of those.
Yeah. Thank you. I just had to vent. I'll give my next Daily Winnie later.
Okay.
Oh, I've got a vent coming up that you're just, you know why I have this show, Glenn? It's so I don't have to pay for therapy.
And actually, we pay you for therapy, apparently.
Side note, I entertain you from my mess. So there you go.
All right. One of the, I would say, the hottest products that has hit the fundraising market in the horse world in years. Because we, you know, we look at, probably since our Smooth Stride jeans, right? Since we saw those and kind of highlighted those. Well, this one didn't need our help at all. It raised, what was it, 170,000 pounds out of the 100,000 pounds they wanted with 1,033 backers. And this has been the most published thing I've seen on Facebook in the horse world. People are fascinated by it. We have them on the phone here all the way from Austria. I'm going to play you while I get them on Skype. I'm going to play you the video that kind of describes the product right now.
Iron shoes for horses have been in existence for more than 2,000 years. Multiple horses suffer or die from hoof and leg issues. Imagine trying to fit an iron plate on the sole of your sports shoe. How does that feel? Horses have the same bones, tendons, and ligaments as we have. Introducing Megasys Horse Runners, the world's first clippable runners for horses. Goodbye nails. Goodbye iron horseshoes. Hello, Megasys Horse Runners. Hello, comfort. Poetry in motion just got easy with Megasys Horse Runners. The first shock-absorbing horse protection that allows for natural hoof movements on all types of terrain. Here are just some advantages to Megasys Horse Runners. Our patent-pending high-performance Mega Lock Fastener System makes it simple for a horse owner and trainer to fit and take off. It's a horse lover's dream. A state-of-the-art stabilizer enhances and adjusts the stability of the shoe to the horse's needs. Megasys Horse Runners really has it all. The Mega Pro Tape is reflective at night and keeps the Mega Lock Tape clean. Fitting the Megasys Horse Runners includes four quick steps. 1. Mark the position of the tape on the hoof and the hoof shape on the Megasys. 2. Stick Megalock tapes on the marked hoof. 3. Cut the Megasys outside the marking using a jigsaw or nipper. And 4. Put the Megasys on and clip the side clips to the Megalock tape. Wow, that was simple.
And our mission is simple.
To take horses out of the Iron Age. Together we can make it.
Megasys! Yeah!
All right, so we'll explain more about it, and we're going to get Louisa on here, who is from Megasys Horse Runners in Austria, hopefully. See if we can connect with her via Skype. Hello, Louisa.
Hello.
Hello, thank you so much for joining us. You're on with Glenn and Jamie.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
We just introduced you and talked about this product. We've covered a lot of products in the almost 7 years we've been doing this show. This has to be the most talked about one we have seen, even over here in the United States. So congratulations for that.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you for inviting me to your morning show.
Your marketing is terrific. Your videos are great. I mean, it really does explain it well. But for those that haven't seen, for the two people left in the world that have horses that haven't seen this video or the product, can you kind of describe what it is and how it works?
Yes, of course. Thank you. We invented the Megasys Horse Runners. It's the first clippable hoof protection for horses. It's a bit like a sports shoe. For horses, you can put it on and take it off whenever you want. Yes,
and the way it has these clips that come up around the side that they kind of hook to a Velcro-like thing that you put on your horse's hoof, right?
That's right. We have a Mega Lock tape. It's a special fastener system, and you have high performance. Sort of Velcro tape, but it's a high performance one. You won't find it in the yeah, you can't buy it, but it's a, it has little mushroom heads, and you clip it to the hoof. One tape you have to stick on the hoof, and then you have the mushrooms on the side clips, and you clip them to the hoof, and then you can take it off whenever you want.
So you have the bottom piece, which is the part, the horseshoe part, that goes underneath the foot, which is made of a very durable, strong plastic polymer. And then these little clips that hook to that, that then come up around the hoof and attach to the Velcro that's attached to the hoof by this gluey stuff, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. That's all my technical terms there that I'm using today. Now, okay, so now this looked fascinating, obviously, to a lot of people because you did very well in the Kickstarter campaigns. Were you surprised how well it did?
Yeah, we are overwhelmed because we have so many nice horse lovers around the world. We got about more than 4,000 emails last month, and they are full of enthusiasm and energy. And it's so nice to see people from around the world, every from India or South Africa, of course, United States, and they all love horses and they all want the best for their horses. That's really great.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much for supporting us. Well,
congratulations. You deserve it. So we have a bunch of questions from listeners, if you don't mind, about how they work and getting into a little more of the details. First one is a good question. How are horse runners better than hoof boots? How are they better than boots?
Hoof boots and we want the same. We want to give the horses more comfort. And the Megasus horse runners, the big advantage is that they are only on the hoof, not there. You have no hair or skin or anything. It's only the horn.
Right.
Yeah, you put it on, a bit like an iron horseshoe. And so you don't have, and it's very customizable. You put on the hoof on the carrier, and then you mark it, the outline, and then you cut it. And customize it to one hoof, and 8 side clips come from all sides, and then it's really tight and it fits exactly to the hoof. So that has really advantages because you can go on all types of terrain, you can ride through water, and you can ride very fast, and we love to ride very fast. So it's fun.
Well, now,
fun for you and the horse.
That brings up a question about that. So you have this Velcro. I'm going to call it Velcro because everybody knows what it is, right?
Yes, I know.
You know, the Velcro that's actually glued to the hoof that these fasteners come up and attach to. So when I take the boot off or the shoe off, and now he's just out in the field, you have a protective layer, a thing that you can put over the Velcro. But my experience and everybody's experience with Velcro is it gets gunked up, it gets all kinds of crap in there, and then it becomes useless. What's going to stop a horse who's turned out in a very muddy paddock from that just not getting trashed in one day?
I think mud is the worst thing for all kind of hoof protection. That's available, but this kind of Velcro, it's not, you have not the hook and the loops, but it's only the mushroom heads. That's why it's easier to clean, and the protective tape, it has a sealing lip, a bit like diver goggles, and it sticks really strong to the other tape. So if the horse steps into mud or is out in the field, it has to be forces to put it off, to get it off.
And you can brush it. Can you then take a, like, let's say it does get dirty. Can you take a brush and just brush it? Is that what you do?
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's what we do.
Got it. So now, that leads to another listener question. And that was, is it meant to be left on when they're out in the field? Can you leave it on, or do you take it on and off every time you ride?
No, you can leave it on. The Megasus horse runners or the tape? The Megasus horse runners.
Actually, the shoe itself. Yeah, the horse runners.
The shoe itself, yes. Yeah. You can use it 24/7 because there are some horses there. They need to have hoof protection all the time. But we highly recommend to take it off after 1 or 2 weeks and trim the hoof a little bit so that the hoof is able to keep its shape throughout the year that you don't have the disadvantage of permanent hoof protection, that the toe grows that long, because it's a bit like our foot nails. If they grow too long, you won't your shoes won't fit anymore. And it's the same with horses and hooves. So many you have tensions in the hoof if the hoof grows and it's and the hoof protection is too small. So we hope that you take it off after 1 or 2 weeks and then trim the hoof a little bit and then put it on again.
So this is a question that came up with a lot of, we had this question about 5 times, and that is, you have the tape that's on the hoof wall, and of course the hoof grows, the tape will be moving down, right?
I mean, yes,
that's what's going to happen. Right. So eventually you're going to have to remove that tape as the foot grows and move it up higher. You're going to have to move the tape anyway, because you're going to have to trim the foot and it's going to be in the wrong spot. So it's meant to be taken off and then new tape put on, is that correct?
That's right. We think that you about 2 or 3 weeks it will last on the hoof, and in this time you can trim a little bit the hoof and it will come down a little bit, but that doesn't matter for the function. But after 3 weeks you have to replace it and take a new one,
because it's going to be in the wrong spot.
Right.
At that point it's going to have moved enough that it'll be in the wrong spot. And it won't hold tight. I can see that. So you'll sell the packs of the tape then? You can just buy the tape packs?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, good. So now the other question was, and this is the part I didn't understand from the video, and I watched it about 5 times. So now, okay. So when you buy the size that's close to your horse's foot shape size, but then every horse's foot is a different shape. So Yit showed somebody using a jigsaw to actually cut the shape of the hoof runner to the foot's or to the foot shape. Now the question I have is, because the clips hook in on the side, aren't you also cutting off the place where the clips hook in?
No, you have you are able to cut it a little bit. That's that doesn't matter. You can usually you take you measure the width of your hoof.
Right.
The widest part, and then you choose the size. For example, you have, I don't have the inches, I'm sorry,
that's okay.
125 millimeters or 12.4 centimeters is your hoof. And then you take the 130 and you cut it, will cut the length and a little bit on the side. And it doesn't matter if you cut a little bit of the side clips, they fit. You can adjust them. It's no problem. You can cut the side also.
So the clips will still fit in the little holes, even though you've cut it.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. That's pretty ingenious. All right.
and we can just because I'm an inventor. Can you gallop and jump in these things?
Yes, we can.
All right. So not going to shift around or move and you jump. Now you've got all the kind of glue and or the tape that you put on.
Yes.
Say I want to take everything off. How do you get it off? Or do you just wait till it grows out?
Our goal is, because we are still testing material. We have very good material now. But it's still fine tuning, because we start a serial production in the next upcoming weeks. Mm-hmm. And so we are still fine tuning, and the glue is like this. You stick it on, but you can lose it or peel it off on one edge with, for example, a knife or a little bit, and then you take pliers and you pull it off.
Okay, so you can just get it started and then pull it off. So you use some kind of hoof knife or whatever to get it started to then pull it off. That is a question we had about getting the tape off.
Yes, and then how long is the actual horse runner going to last, the actual hoof? You know, I mean, my farrier gets a new pair of shoes every 6 weeks for my horse. So will this last longer than that?
As I said, we did not finish material testing yet. Our goal is that we find an optimum between wear resistance, shock absorption, and a good traction, because we want to ride over all kind of terrain, if the grass is wet or not, that it doesn't matter. So, and we expect to find that optimum at a durability of 3 to 6 months, depending on horse and use. But if you, for example, be an endurance rider, it won't last that long.
Right.
So it depends on riding too. But we will give more information in the next week. So we are preparing more videos and showing then some tests.
I think it's great. There's so many horses that I see that have been shod poorly for so long, and you just want to pull the shoe off of them and let them grow, but you can't because they've been shod for so long. So this is a really, really smart way to go about it. You know, not every horse does well in the boots. So this is fantastic. I'm excited for you guys. This is great.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's why we have invented the stabilizer for example, for horses. If they were shot, then they all their the hoof is rigid. If you have a shot hoof over a long period of time, and all tendons and ligaments, it's a bit like wearing a cast for them. And if you put it off after a long period with iron horseshoes, all tendons and ligaments start moving again. So that's why horses sometimes cannot even move if you put them off.
Right.
Because they have so much movement now. And so we invented the stabilizer, because our Megasus horse runners is able to move in the heels only under the weight of the horse. It seems to be very, very strong, but under the weight of the horse, it can move. And then you use the stabilizer to fix it, that the horse is able to get used to more movement again, so it's not so painful for them.
Gotcha. Helena has a question, and I thought this was an interesting question. She wanted to know, what has been the reaction from the farriers? What are they going to adopt it, and what kind of training will they need to be able to? Well, I guess they're going to need a jigsaw. That's one thing. But what kind of training are they going to need? So, what's been the reaction of the farriers around the world?
It's totally different. We have farriers. They say, "Oh, it's wonderful," and they want to test it. And they need it now. And then we have farriers. They say that it is, they can't understand why we should need it. And I think the only thing a farrier should have is an open mind. That's all. Because
That's easier said than done with a lot of farriers. Good luck with that.
And they can shoe horses. So there should be no problem to use our, because it's maybe simple, but
It's pretty simple.
It's a hard work for a farrier to shoe a horse. This is, it's not an easy work. So, their life could be a bit easier with Megasus horse runners.
Do you find...
If they want.
Do you expect people will be leaving them on, or do you expect them they'll be putting them on and off as they need them for going out riding?
I hope that they put it on and off, maybe not every day, because if you say in next 3 days I want to ride every day, then it's better to leave them on. But I hope that they give their horses the opportunity to go barefoot for a while, because barefoot, it's like if we could go more barefoot, or we would do it, you strengthen your tendons, your ligaments, the hoof will be better, and the horses need the ground to fill their sole.
It's funny you say that. I just read a study that showed that shoes are ruining humans' feet. that our feet are being ruined by shoes. And our horses are barefoot. We don't leave boots on all the time. You know, we use boots when we go out to ride, you know, especially if we're going out where there's macadam or concrete or whatever on the road. Mm-hmm. We'll use the boots. We take them on and off. So this, I don't see why this would be any different than that. You know, you just put them on. You put them on when you go out to ride, and then take them off when you come back. That's what people that are using boots currently do. So, in most cases,
that's right.
Yeah, and I can see what you said about the boots rubbing. Some boots that you buy do rub, depending on the horse's angle of the ankle and the foot and all of that. They get rub marks, and with this, doesn't come up that high, so there's no rub marks. It doesn't come up near the hair even. So there's really no chance of rub marks with this.
No, there's no chance, but there are horses and boots, they fit perfectly. So if you have boots, they fit to your horse, no matter that this is perfect.
Right.
But then you don't have to change.
Right.
It's only for those who their horses, yeah.
Well, I think it's cool. Obviously, you've gotten the attention of the horse world, and I think the reason you did is because it's so innovative and so different and so new, and we don't see that a lot. So so I think that that's very cool. Now, a couple other questions, and then we'll let you go. What do you know what price point they're going to be?
Yes, we estimate a retail price of 149 euros. That should be, I don't know, it depends on exchange rates, about 150-60 dollars for a pair of two.
Okay, that's about the price of hoof boots then. Yep.
Of two.
And then when are they going to be available? I know you said you're just going to be starting to go into production here, and do we have a realistic time frame?
Yes, we are launching in August 2017. All our backers from Kickstarter or people who are supporting us now, they will get it in July 2017. But launching on the market will be August.
Very good. Well, Jamie, any other questions?
No, I think it's covered. I wish you guys the best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Keep us informed, and when they come out, we'll test them out and let everybody know how we liked them.
That will be perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Yes. Let me give the website here. It is it's horserunners.com, right?
Thank you. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So if you want to check it out, see the videos and everything about it, are you taking pre-orders now?
Yes, we are taking pre-orders. Okay. Because financing is quite challenging.
Right.
But we have many people that support us. That's really great. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Louisa. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Len. Have a nice day. Morning.
Thank you.
You too.
Well, there you go. What do you think?
I think it's great. I've known so many horses that, like coming off the track, that have really needed a time to decompress from the nail holes and all the adjustments. But you just can't pull shoes off of every horse. It just doesn't work. And I know people go, oh, I pull my shoes off every winter. Well, that's not responsible for everybody. You know, it's just not going to work for everybody. So to hear about something that, you know, it's more secure than a boot. It's not going to rub on the heels of a low-heeled horse. You know, I think it's cool. I think that you would have to learn how to trim a hoof. Like, you need to be on top of this and really understand. I think there's a lot of education, excuse me, that would need to go along with it.
I think what she said, too, about, because what they do is when the horse foot is trimmed, then they trim this to be that size. So obviously, and that's what she kept saying, in 3 to 4 weeks, you're going to want to do a minor trimming to bring it back to that size again, or your shoe's going to be too small.
I heard 2 weeks. So, you can't be calling your farrier out every 2 weeks.
And I think it depends on your horse, too, right? Some grow faster than others. So some people might be 4 weeks. You know, it depends on the horse. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. In all the time we've been doing this, I have not seen a Kickstarter raise that much money for a horse product.
It's pretty impressive.
So somebody was interested.
Over 100,
it's almost $190,000. Yeah, that's big money. So they can afford to go to production, apparently. So we'll see.
Great. I want to thank Jennifer. She just gave me a fantastic idea. I'm now online shopping for seatbelts. She thinks that a seatbelt would be a good way to lock my stalls.
Just go to the local junkyard.
Oh, for Zeus. That? You changed gears on me. I was going, you need a seatbelt because of your horse's foot? you had me confused there for a minute.
Genius. Genius. Seatbelts.
All right, we're going to take a break. We have
not the lift ones like on an airplane. He'd figure that out in 2 seconds.
He wouldn't. The push button one would probably be better. Depends whether he could get his teeth on it, I guess.
Cribox, a big jar of Cribox, and just dunk the entire thing in there.
I had a chance to catch up with Karen from Kentucky Performance Products to talk a little bit about Omega, and we're going to come back after that. We have really bad ads today, and you know what? We had a lot of listener-submitted ones. They read their own today, Jamie, so you're going to be happy with that.
Yay!
All coming up on today's show.
Hi, Glenn the Geek here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm here with Karen from Kentucky Performance Products with a sensible supplementing tip of the week. We're going to talk about omega fatty acids' role in equine nutrition. So, Karen, everybody hears about omega fatty acids, but a lot of us, you know, we hear about it, and then it sort of goes out of our brain, and we don't really absorb what they are or why they're important.
Right, and, you know, Glenn, I think it's just very confusing to a lot of people, and mainly because there's so many of them, and they have so many odd names. So I think the easiest thing is to just try to simplify it as much as I can for you. Omega fatty acids are considered essential fatty acids. And what that means is they are fatty acids that are required for a biological purpose in the horse. In other words, they're not just used for fuel or energy, but they actually have a purpose. And they are considered essential because the horse cannot manufacture them on their own. We have to provide them in the diet. And because of the way we manage horses nowadays, you know, we've kind of moved away from managing horses just with a fiber source. In other words, you know, it used to be horses just, you know, grazed all day out on the pasture and different grasses. They got a little bit of grain now and then, maybe at the end of the growing season, but for the most part, they're eating grass. And grass is very high in omegas, in the good omegas for horses. So there's two kinds of omega fatty acids. There's omega-3 fatty acids and omega-6 fatty acids. And horses need both, but they need them in the correct ratio. And if you look at the ratio of omega-3s to omega-6 in different feedstuffs, if we look at grasses, we see that grass has five parts omega-3 to one part omega-6. And since grass is really what horses would eat naturally, that leads us to believe that the ratio for omega-3s to omega-6 in a horse in nature would be more omega-3s than omega-6s. So does that make sense?
Yep.
On that so far? So what we're looking at is we don't really know. The researchers have not determined the exact perfect ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s in horses, but we know that they need more omega-3s than 6s. And we're looking at somewhere between a 3-to-1 to 5-to-1 ratio in the diet. That seems to be a good spot to start, or a good thumb rule. Unfortunately, because we've changed the way we manage horses over the years, we feed hay and we feed grain, and that has inverted the ratio. In other words, most of our horses are getting more omega-6s than they are omega-3s. If you have an inverted ratio, in other words, if you have more omega-6s than omega-3s, then you have more inflammation in the body than you normally would if you had a higher amount of omega-3s. So the omega-3s, as they move through the system, tend to be anti-inflammatory, and the omega-6s, as they move through the system, tend to be pro-inflammatory. Your horse can use either 3 or 6, and they will use whatever is provided to them. But the result could be either beneficial or not so beneficial to your horse. Now, your horse does need some of both, but that ratio is very, very important.
How do I then turn it around to get more omega-3s back in than omega-6s?
Well, there's a couple of things that you can do. Grass is absolutely, you know, again, it's what nature intended horses to eat. So it's a very good source of omega-3. So if you can allow your horse to graze for the majority of the day, then, of course, that's almost...
Which our horse would turn into a... Exactly. You could fly him across the sky because he'd be a hot air balloon at that point.
That's right. A lot of horses can't because we've improved our pastures so much. So using feeds that are lower in omega-6s and higher in omega-3s are something that you can do. Now, forages, both hay and pasture, will contain more omega-3s than omega-6s, so grass and hay is good for your horse, and we all know that, you know, that needs to be the basis of your diet. Some oils will contain more omega-3s than 6s. A lot of people are using flaxseed now, and flax is higher in omega-3s than omega-6. Also, the fish oils, and a lot of fish oils are available over the counter now through supplementation. In fact, we have one called Contribute that is it's a combination of fish oil and flax oil, and it provides a complete complement of omega-3s. Okay. It has an 8-to-1 ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s, and it contains the plant and marine sources of omega-3s. Now, there's been in the past some palatability issues with fish oil. I don't know if you've ever smelled some of the fish oils that are...
Mm-hmm.
Lots of horses will run to the back of their stall and just stand there going, oh, my right. God, Mom, what did you put in my feed?
Some of the human pills are like that, too.
Well, yeah, you can really taste. So we did a lot of research with our product, and we got a fish oil that just on its own smelled pretty good, and then we've added some flavor, some cherry flavor to it that has made it very palatable. So we have very few horses turning it down. And like anything, you have to introduce it slowly, and should introduce it slowly anyway to the horse. But we have very few horses that'll turn it down.
Well, that's terrific. It's good to learn. I never knew about the ratio between the 3s and the 6s. And, of course, you can find out more information on Kentucky Performance Products' new website. Has a terrific article on this. And we'll link to that in our show notes as well as on our Facebook page. Or you could just go to kppusa.com to find out more about omega fatty acids and the Contribute product. Just look under products.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings. And, of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair. One quick note, you have today only to get your voicemails in for Radiothon. Today is the final day.
This is it, people.
This is it. If you want to be qualified for now the over $4,200 in prizes, we just confirmed 2 days ago, Jamie, that Stud Muffins is giving a $250 prize pack of Stud Muffins, including 4 of the large containers of Stud Muffins.
Oh, wow.
So,
nice.
And all of their Christmas specials that they have going on, and their Advent calendar. They have an Advent calendar with Stud Muffins. It's very funny. All of that is happening. And you one of the ways you qualify is by getting us a voicemail in by the end of the day today. Go to holidayradiothon.com and click the Enter to Win tab. The only other way you can win is by calling us that day and joining in the conversation. So that's the scoop. And we've been getting lots of terrific entries. So get yours in today. And I'm going to play out the show today with a couple that I put together from last year just to get you in the mood, because we're like a week away now. So that's...
I can't believe
I know,
Thanksgiving is next week. That's
I can't believe it either. All right. So what's going on with you? Why do you need therapy? Just come over here, sit on my couch, Jamie, and tell me all about it.
Okay. Well, it's about a student.
Of course.
And her pony and her parent. So I have to talk about this far into the show. So in case they listen to the beginning of the show, they don't know I'm going to talk about them.
You sure you want to talk about this?
Yes, I do. I have to. I'm going crazy. So my student is a 10-year-old girl and she has a pony. And it is just a beautiful, lovely, wonderful pony when I ride it. It's perfect when I ride it. It's a bit larger pony. So I've been on it. I've jumped it. I've ridden it a ton. And it is a wonderful pony when I'm on it. But when the 10-year-old gets on it, it's a bull. He runs through her hands. He rips the reins out of her hands. And recently, as she started jumping more and more and more, you know, you want your pony to, or your horse or your partner to be a little bit more forgiving of mistakes. And when I jump this thing, I don't make the mistakes of pulling him in the mouth and all that stuff. But if she kind of just pulls him in the mouth just a little bit, he's started bucking her off. Like, and I'm not talking just a pony crow hopping. I'm talking bottom of the back feet, sky high, a buck, a twist. And I really think he literally looks back and aims for her and tries to step on her. So last week she got bucked off super hardcore. Well, they had to go to the doctor, and then I rode the pony for the next hour and a half and then tied it up for a couple hours in the cross ties. And he went home very nice and he had a great week. And then he comes back out to the lesson yesterday and she was like, we just want you to jump him first. And I get on him and he's perfect. She gets on him perfect for about three jumps. And then she, you know, she pops him in the mouth twice over fences and he just runs and bucks her off and aims for her. And they have a lot of problems with this pony constantly. And I'm kind of to the point now where like, your daughter should not be training this horse. Your daughter is going to get seriously hurt.
Yeah,
what's your question?
Not a match made in heaven, is it?
It's just not. And you know, I'm like, this pony is a big pony.
You know,
can carry adults. Yeah,
that's
so
okay.
it can carry big adults. It's going to have a great life. It's the cutest
pony's
thing you've ever seen.
Got her number, and that's it. He's got
it. That's it. And yep. And he's not a bad pony. He's just not very forgiving. You know, he doesn't allow her to make any mistakes.
But then there's not a lot of ponies that are very forgiving.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, he's like a draft pony too. So he's really tough, really tough. But again, if I ride him, he gets it. He's fine. So, but that's not fair to her. And, you know, I was like, oh, well, can we leave him in training with you? And I was like, well, he's fine when I ride him. You're not going to like, stop trying. You've done everything you possibly can for this pony. It's okay if you rehome him, sell him and find something that's going to take care of your child. This is not, you know, and I've been fighting the mother and the child about trying to find a more suitable mount. You know, I'm not a fan of just like something happens, let's sell it. But they've sent him to a trainer. They've spent thousands of dollars with me and with somebody else to make this pony viable for her. And it's just not a match. So we've exhausted everything. I'm done. I said, I'll stick with you, but I really think this is a bad idea. I've been pushing for a while to sell the pony. Well, okay. I think after yesterday, they have finally decided to sell the pony.
Oh, no. Do I need to get the green on green song ready? Jeez. This isn't good, is it?
So I'm like, go home. Start looking. I think we could sell your pony for this X dollar amount. Go home and start looking online and see what you see that interests you, that's in that price range. And then we can do, you know, you don't have to invest a ton of money. We sell the pony for this and you buy a horse for that or a pony for that. Okay, great. First thing I get is, I think this one is fantastic. It was saved from slaughter. It's a rescue.
Let me guess, off the track thoroughbred, never been touched.
6 years old and a cribber. So you put all that together.
I was right.
You got it. off the track horse, oh, a mare, six
Why
years old,
do people at a not rescue, learn? Why?
At a rescue. Like, oh, by the way, it's a cribber, but she doesn't crib that much when they ride it.
Well, that's good.
Oh,
wait a
my
minute,
gosh.
Mom. I have to stop in the middle of the jump course, and there's a nice, tasty wooden fence over here.
Unbelievable. So I said, I'm like, okay, here, let me read you the ad that I found that I would like to send them. Because I said, here's what you need. You need something 15 to 18 years old that you can ride. They need a beaker. Something. Yeah. Just super calm beaker that jumps, yep. That has, you can make mistakes on. That's why you need something seasoned, something older. Somebody's trying to, you know, get a new horse. So I find this horse blank is a 14-year-old 16-hand thoroughbred. He has a calm, generous, and loving personality, wants to please. He's been a pony clubber. He's schooled 3-6 jumpers. He's done dressage. He's evented. He's competed. But he's seeking a new home because, you know, we're looking for something younger, basically. Like, that's the ad. Like, that's perfect. It's actually in Arizona too, which is really amazing. He stands for quietly, for clipping, farrier, bathe, trailer. He's got love to give. He's got a big heart. He's very forgiving. Like, here's your horse. This is it. It's a gray horse.
It doesn't like gray horses.
I get a message back. Name of daughter wants a black horse. I want to cry.
This one was probably black when it started.
I want to cry. Like, oh my God. She said if she has to get rid of insert pony's name here, that she wants a black horse. I can't. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
You know, the sad.
She's super sad. About losing her pony.
And these people have been around horses. They've had a bratty pony. Why would they even consider something like the first one? I just don't even understand it.
I wrote her back and I go, what part of 15 to 20-year-old seasoned horse screamed 6-year-old?
It was black.
Rescue cribber.
It was black. That's all. It was black.
Like, well, I guess you're right, but... She really liked the look of it.
There you go.
She doesn't get to choose what she sees, nothing. And then I find this Welsh pony that's like, oh my God, done everything. It's 14 hands. No, she wants something taller now. I'm like, she's riding a 12-hand horse right now.
It is taller.
This is taller. Like, children and parents, I'm like, seasoned, older, something she can make mistakes on. Nope. 6-year-old black rescue.
I told you, you know, the ultimate story of this was Jennifer's student. I've told this story before.
Oh, I want to hear it. I need misery loves
okay.
company.
An adult woman who took lessons for how long, Jennifer? A year, probably.
Yeah. Maybe a little more. Yeah.
Yeah. A little more than a year. And without telling us, goes out and buys a horse at the racetrack. They actually went to the racetrack. This woman had lessons once a week for a year, brings this horse home and thought it would be fun in the backyard to get on the horse, to just jump on the horse in the backyard of their house without, again, no, they didn't even let us know they bought a horse. She gets bucked off, hits a wall, breaks her neck, and was paralyzed.
Good Lord, that is not the story I was.
There you go. There you go.
Whew, that's tough. Well, I mean, there's just, you know, you only have one
but
child.
You use that story with mom, you're going to have a 22-year-old plug.
So. We spend a lot of time as trainers and instructors trying to get inside the heads of the humans that we work with.
Yeah.
She, and this is probably at a subconscious level, she sees. You bring a new horse into your life, and horses that you bring into your life, you feel passionately about. They say something to your spirit. Now there's other qualities. For example, it's a horse that's got a lovely uphill build, a beautiful shoulder, and he's going to have amazing jumping capability, but he also tugs at your heartstrings, right? Yes. So the problem is they also want a horse that tugs at their heartstrings, but they don't have the ability to separate out the other parts. All they got is the heartstrings part. They can't separate the heartstrings from the specifications and statistics. So they just can't.
Yeah. Well, I think part of what's going on is a mother is listening to a 10-year-old.
Well, yeah.
Mother needs to listen to the trainer and then communicate to the 10-year-old why these things are the way they are. I mean, I've been trying to convince them for quite some time to find a new horse because this one, and they bought this one online, sight unseen, 2 years ago.
Oh my
ago,
gosh, they bought it sight unseen?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
She drove to California with the trailer. It's really cute. Okay. I mean, it's a really cute little pony. So I've dealt with the worst ones. Exactly.
No old ugly ponies.
No, that's right.
Pretty yeah. is as pretty does, and you've got a really cute monster. And what's funny is he's not a monster. He's actually really, really good. If you just know
he's not the right pony for her.
He's not the right pony for her.
He's the right pony for somebody, just not the right pony for her. And that's okay.
An adult rider who wants a stinking cute pony that can trail ride.
She's going to have a lot of boyfriends that aren't the right ones, too.
Exactly. You got to try ice cream.
Maybe that's the angle you need to take. She's going to have a lot of boyfriends that aren't right.
Yeah.
You would not discourage her from getting rid of those, would you?
Right.
That's good. Well, I now have finally convinced him, but this is like 5 minutes after they're home, I send them home last night. I'm like, just go home and look. 5 minutes later is when they send me this link about this 6-year-old mare from the rescue that has never been like, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. Like, this is a parameter. And I mean, at what point do I go, I can't work with you. Anymore. I want to help.
Well, yeah, but you can only help people that want to be helped, right? So you have to go to the point where you feel that their decision is a mistake and that you just can't support it. So they bring home the 6-year-old that you know is going to kill this child, and they made the decision regardless. And then you have to decide, do I want to be the one to go through the next year, which, no matter how much they pay is not going to be enough, right, to solve this problem. And then you have to watch it, too. And you have to watch. Yeah, it's hard. It's just hard.
We've been down that
road before, and it's hard. And Jennifer Wood, I mean, in business, there was something I learned early on in business, and I'm not saying these are that. But we always learned fire your most time consuming customer every year, fire one a year, and you have 20% more time next year. And I'm not saying these people are that, but actually Jennifer did that when she had the boarding and training stables. She would take the one that was the biggest pain in the butt that cost the most time and just say, I can't work with you anymore. And it was amazing how much time and mental energy it freed up. And we would do that every year. We would consciously pick one.
My farrier does that. She and her mom go out on calls, and they each, for Christmas, give each other one client to fire a year.
Yeah, that's and you should. No, you should. That's right. That's in business. That's what you should do. And I did that with my investment clients. And usually the one that takes the most time is the one you're making the least amount of money on, too. That generally is a correct rule. So when you get rid of them, you go, first of all, they zapped all your emotional energy. They just were the ones that would zap you. And again, I'm not saying that these people are that. I think they just need some guidance.
Yeah, they're not that.
But as a lesson, your moral story here today, people, you're in business, get rid of one client a year. That client that's costing you the most time and money, and you'll be amazed at how much more you get done next year.
You take nothing out of this, fire somebody.
That's right. That's right. Be a Donald Trump. Fire him.
All right. Hit the button. It's that time.
Are you done now? Are we good?
Thank you.
All right, good.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse
straight, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week where listeners submit really crappy, usually Craigslist and Facebook ads, and we post them and talk about them and have some fun with them. And we have some great prizes. Jennifer's going to tell you about the first one.
Prizes this month include, because of our spot, a fantastic Page a Day calendar 2017 edition from Daily Racing Funnies. We have all seen those tablet-style calendars during the holiday shopping season. Well, Mel over at Daily Racing Funnies has created one that thoroughbred fans can really enjoy. It features great moments from the 2015 and 16 seasons, like California Chrome and American Pharoah and Nyquist and Rachel Alexandra and bunches more. These calendars are a special edition, and they're limited to the number of them that are pre-ordered. Obviously, yours has been pre-ordered for you. So you can go over to dailyracingfunnies.com and click on the Funnies tab, and you can order yours. And you're also going to get the Long Reigning with Double Dan book. Woohoo! It's the Long Reigning Double Dan book is a fantastic publication that contains equal parts informative training advice and eye candy.
That's right. And safe, controlled groundwork techniques to build an effective partnership on the ground and create success. I almost said sex. Success in the saddle. That was...
I want that. They're not the same.
I was waiting for you to jump in there. And this is brought to you by Trafalgar Square, who will never donate a book again after that. That is the book that we'll send out to the winner. All right.
I just emailed the mother and I said, tell her she can pick a horse by color when I'm dead. Thank you.
All right, let's get to some really bad ads. That's funny. All right.
I might get fired.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's gonna be no decision to make. It'll be easy after that. So we have, first up on the hit parade, we have Lisa sent this one in. A new name, actually, I haven't seen before. So thank you, Lisa. Mare, $750. Candy is a red and white mare. She is about,
is that a candy cane?
She is about 5 years old. Candy is green broke. Candy will follow another horse on the trail. Well, that's good to know. Willing to trade Candy for a horse trailer with title in good shape, ready to use.
What was her name?
Candy. Candy is her name. And Candy is looks like a candy cane, apparently. Green broke, 5 years old. Perfect.
Just follow another horse.
Just follow. As long as you're following, you're fine. If you're leading, trouble. Trouble.
Yeah.
Another I'll trade Candy for a horse trailer too, to be honest.
I'll buy you all sorts of stale candy.
Yeah, I can get some Halloween candy and trade it for a horse trailer.
The day after Halloween, you're good to go. Another new name, Patty. Thank you, Patty. 20 plus years mare horse. And this is in your hometown. Well, your home state of Groveland, Florida. 20 plus years mare horse. Her name is Mama. Not sure about height, but she's tall and thick. Her previous owner said she was a quarter horse, but I have a quarter horse already, and she doesn't look at all like her, so I'm not sure what she really is. Because all quarter horses look alike, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I have rode her with the bareback saddle. She will come with her halter. That's not best offer.
She's tall and she's thick. She's a big boned mama.
But she ain't no quarter horse because she don't look tall like my other quarter horse.
Could be because
that's funny.
Way overweight.
Quarter horses are the one horse that I'm like, you can find so many varieties in a quarter horse. Tall, yeah,
and
skinny,
a lot
long,
of them nowadays,
big,
I
fat,
can't
short.
Tell them from thoroughbreds. I mean, they look like,
I know.
I'm always asking Jennifer, is that a quarter horse or thoroughbred? Because I can't tell anymore. They made him so thoroughbred-y. Okay, so here, this is from Misty, sent this one in.
6-year-old bay stud horse, $300 in West Findlay.
Hells yeah.
6 years old, broken stud. Very quiet. You wouldn't even know he was a stud by how he acts. very good at commands and at riding. Can be in same field with other animals. Donkey, horse, cows. New paragraph out of the blue. Mare is cut due to burrs. I think they cut the wrong animal. New paragraph. Have to sell due to work hours and not having enough time and attention for him to what a horse needs. New paragraph. Price is OBO. New paragraph. Can haul if area is decent or you pick up.
It's not going to haul it to any of the bad parts of town.
I ain't taking it to no muddy place.
No, I'm like.
That's what I got.
That's funny. Thank you,
I don't
Misty.
Think he's going to the inner city. I mean,
I was thinking the horse. That, actually. I was thinking, where was this again? Boy, they got some bad areas out there.
Now, a couple of people sent this one in, Renegade Equine, Marie, and then somebody else posted this on my page to make sure that I had seen it. And the title is, He's Back, BDUR, $2,500 in Perumela, Texas. BDUR in parentheses stands for Big Damn Ugly Roan. Last post ended up getting some undergarments in a wadded state of twist. So I'm relisting.
I think we did the last one.
Last post ended up getting some undergarments in a wadded state of twist. So I'm relisting. The standard tire kicker questions are as follows. Gelding, in parentheses, a male horse who has been castrated. See Nutless Wonder. Height. Between 16 and 17 hands, in parentheses, hand being 4 inches, totality being number of 4-inch increments at the animal's wither. Wither being, never mind, if you don't savvy wither, he ain't going to be going to your house. Next slide.
This person must have gotten so much crap after the first head. Can you imagine?
Jeez. 10 years old, in parentheses, that's before 11 and just after 9. Standard numeric system. Next line. Grade. Parentheses. Not registered with AQHA, APHA, POA, or AKC. Next line. Broke. Yup. In parentheses. Been parked about a year and a half. As you can tell from his big ugly head, he's a Hancock. He might kick out at the lope, but it's counterfeit. Handle is there, but it needs repolished. Next line. Any issues? Yes, he can be a real jerk at feeding time. All my horses. Next line. How far are you from, in parentheses, wherever you hang your hat? No idea. I recommend Google. It has a fairly advanced application that should tell you how far I am from you. Next line. Child safe?
So over it.
This will all be explained at the end of this. I don't know.
Okay, I haven't read this one.
Child safe, in parentheses. I don't make those determinations for parents, but I wouldn't put one of my little bundles of joy on him. I spend way too damn much on child support to risk accidents. Plus, my baby mamas can be real persnickety.
Baby mamas.
Yeah, exactly. Next line. Bottom line, he's a big roan. That's roan, not Rome, which isn't a color. He will make someone a good one. If I still have him by the time I get home from Korea in February, I'll put the time into making him a head horse worth double what I'm asking now. So go get him. My wife is sick of my attempts at being funny and not being serious about selling him. Yeah, I think your wife's just sick of you, period. And she's not going to miss you when you go to Korea.
I guess it depends when the other baby mama showed up in the picture, before or after the wedding. I think that's probably had something to do with it.
I just see this guy, he's got a couple wives, ex-wives, a couple different kids, and then he's like, I'm going to train this horse, and then he goes and gets him, and she's like, you need to sell this horse, you're leaving town, you're going off to Korea.
Bites her face off every time she goes to feed it.
She doesn't like him, sell him, and then he puts all these ads up.
I have a suggestion for this gentleman. Stay in Korea. That's where, yeah. That would be a better idea. Oh, that was very funny. Thank you for the dozen people who sent it in. Matt sent this one over. This is one of those Facebook buy or sell groups. This is in Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey. ISO a horse, $500. Looking for a horse I can do payments on, no more than $500, maybe a little more. No stallions, please, any color, any breed, height, from 15 to 17 hands, riding and driving a plus. I have a boyfriend who likes to ride and a 7-year-old son who likes to ride. Also, let me know what you have. Thanks.
Did you do all that in one breath?
I know, because I couldn't, but I will say that I hate to get serious, but after your rant, if you have to make payments on a $500 horse, you probably shouldn't be buying it. I'm just saying.
No, don't buy that.
Yeah, it's going to cost you more than $500 in the first vet bill, so don't buy it. Just don't.
Well, you know, the price of the horse ain't the what the yeah. the big part.
Anyway,
do payments on no more than 500. Maybe it's a typo. They meant 5,000. Wait, no, it's 500 no, it's written a couple times.
A couple times, yeah. Yep. And
please, at least they're not buying their 7-year-old son a stallion.
No, but a 17-hander.
Yeah, right. Okay, our next one is our fantastically beautiful trailer of the week. And I can't really see it because it's so grown up around the area. They couldn't take, those are dead bushes. You couldn't take them to like push them over to get a picture of this steel 4-horse stock trailer in a beautiful shade of brown with duct tape included on the roof. But again, you can't really see it. There's all the weeds.
I think the trailer is not so bad in this one, but if you're going to take a picture of something, this would be like, I have a couch for sale, but it has a granny cover on it. So you take a picture of the couch, put it on Craigslist, and it's covered completely, so you can't see the couch.
Even better is I have a couch for sale, and it's in the other room, and I'm going to take a picture of it through this doorway and only include, like, the right third of the couch.
Or even better, you take a picture of the couch and it's completely covered in clothing that's just been thrown all over it.
Yeah, again, not a terrible trailer. Wheels, tires look good.
Tires look
good. Can't see the front end of it, though.
But
you can see the back half of the 2-horse.
And personally, I don't think cars or trailers or anything should be painted in poop brown. This is poop brown, and I don't care what it is. I just don't think anything should be painted in poop brown. That's my opinion.
So the ad is large trailer, needs some work, but solid overall. Tires, okay. $400.
Well, it's at our right price, so it's not over our price for a really bad trailer. Just cut the grass. All right, so this is from Robin.
Needs back.
Does anyone need a horse trained? I have trained a horse in the past. Took me 2 weeks to get her from a horse that bucked all the time when you put a saddle on her to a horse that a 10-year-old could ride around bareback in a halter, and I could ride around bareback and bridleless.
Oh, God.
Wow, there's a great trainer. I tell you what. Can you send your pony over to that trainer?
Send you. 2 weeks,
two
man.
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
That's amazing.
You always see the ads where it says they have 30, 60, or 90 days. Well, that's for amateurs. 2 weeks.
I mean, that thing be in the Olympic Games by the time
30 days
60
is up.
Days goes by. Amazing.
Stephen Peters be riding that baby. That's
yeah,
right.
Send that on down. No, I can't give you my phone. I'm working right now. Oh, I don't. It's in the kitchen. Sorry, 3-year-old. Talking. Stephanie sent the next one in and she wrote, I knew apartments were tiny in New York City, but the living quarters horse trailers are ridiculous. This is Sundowner, 2-horse slant load with living quarters, excellent condition, only been used for about 5 years, stored inside for 15, AC and heat, awning, full kitchen with refrigerator, freezer, microwave, and cooktop, full bathroom and shower. Sleeps 4. I don't know where, because this is a 2-horse with a dressing room bumper pole.
Yeah, we see a picture of a 2-horse. It's beautiful, but
it's a really sharp looking Sundowner. Yeah. But I don't buy
it. It's not 32 feet long.
Oh, they just put the wrong picture, huh? That's hilarious.
I'll buy into the freezer, microwave, and cooktop, but I'm not sure where they'd put the bathroom and the shower.
Yeah.
Well, there's you could sleep four in there if you put the horses outside and make them run down the road. And they're probably like, why don't we get any calls? Although this is a 32-foot excellent condition two horse for $1,500. I'm just going to go with scam alert.
Yeah, and I'm going to go, what does the real trailer look like for $1,500 in Manhattan? And how many horse trailers are there in Manhattan? That's the other question.
There are none. This is a scam. So if you guys see something like this in real life too good to be true, yeah, it is. Chad found it.
What
brand
do you find?
New Jeep. He found a Jeep online. Oh my God, he wanted it so bad. He was like, babe, it's like $7,000 and it's in Minnesota and they will send it to me if I just pay the shipping. I was like, babe, you have a way bigger brain than that. Like,
isn't he in the military? He flies fighter jets. He should know better.
But see, you have to understand, people that are that smart sometimes need help with their day to day.
Sure. Okay. Let's see here. Claire sent this one in.
He'll admit it too. He'll admit it. Okay.
Palomino Mayor, $1,200, Blountsville, Alabama. 6-year mare, 14.2 hands. This 8-old my son horse ride on this horse. So I would say she is a beginner's horse. She has never offered to buck kick rear. Been showed in lead line, trail ride, easy, keep he, move up a barrel horse on resin, she up for sell, $1,200.
Well done. Okay, when I am out, like if it's a Friday, I want Claire to fill in for bad ads for me because she gets it.
She does. She can read them a lot better than I can. Those really, really, really bad ads.
Actually, I should just do bad ads with Claire.
Yeah, you should. I'll get off early. That'd be terrific. Good job, Claire. That was a hard one.
Great.
I have no idea what she just read.
I don't either. Those are the ones that you have no idea what happened when you read it too.
Right.
There
was something about a kid and the horse not volunteering to buck. He does it involuntarily, but not voluntarily.
Ooh, this is going to be a good one here. Mary sent this next one in. Buckskin mare, $2,000 in San Antonio, Texas. Is that do I have a Texas accent? Is that different than Southern?
Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
It's like a drawl.
It's like a drawl.
Need to sail. Really don't want to. She's a very sweet girl. She's still green dose. Low. Dose lulling. Saddle easy. Have rode her down the road. Have my niece pick out her hoof. Hat to see her go. Sig he need more than what I can give her right now. Beck, I don't loive down her. PM for more. I had to lose the accent because I was just too confused.
I think there's two words that are spelled right in this entire thing. And one of them is I. Got that right, but it's not capitalized. So
no, there's no I in here.
Yeah, there's one, and it's not capitalized. Mm-hmm. What I can give.
Okay. So yeah, but it's not capitalized.
They got that right. They got that one right. thank you, Texas. Danny.
Thanks, Mary.
Danny. Danny. Danny wrote this one. Sorry, it's in about 6-point font. I can't read it. Gelding for sale. What is it with Florida? Gelding for sale, Groveland, Florida. I have a male gelding named Lucky for sale. He needs an experienced rider, which I am not. He is believed to be an Appaloosa. I was told he is 15 years old. Beth offered. This almost is like a haiku. I have a male gelding named Lucky for sale. He needs an experienced rider, which I am not. He is believed to be an Appaloosa. I was told he's 15 years old.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
That was like a beautiful point.
Yeah, it's like a poem.
Here's how I can give you a hint
that
it potentially is an Appaloosa.
Yeah.
Does it have spots?
You know, Appaloosas are kind of the easiest one to at least guess. right?
Yeah, just a wild guess. I mean, I know there are solid ones here and there, but like, I would probably go with Appaloosa if it has spots.
Yeah.
At least part.
I like that. I'm experienced. He needs an experienced rider, which I am not, judging by my cast on my leg.
Honest. Okay.
Wow, man. That's a good batch, guys. That was a good batch. Thank you for sending those in.
Let's see here. I just got, we don't have time for this, but I just got emailed an ad that they saw online and they would like me to look at it. And I'm going to laugh if it's a black four-year-old.
Thoroughbred right off the track. Pick it up at the back of the track.
It's at Turf Paradise right now.
That's right. Just ran a race yesterday and lost.
All right, it's not loading. You don't get to hear.
All right. Okay. Well, everybody, thank you.
I did a quick search of Phoenix area Craigslist ads and found at least four wonderful large ponies that would fit the bill. And one of them was black. It's not that hard.
Okay, I'll go on Craigslist. I try to avoid Craigslist for horse shopping.
Yeah, well, that's because your husband's going to divorce you. That's why.
This is not for you.
No, this is not for you.
Not for you.
You know, I don't have a problem with that anymore. I'm totally full, and I'm about to get another border. I'm done. Like I can't. Mm-hmm. Although,
now,
that one's
this
cute.
Happened once before. You borrowed the neighbor's property, so we've been down this road before, Jamie. All right, that's it for this week. Thank you so much, everybody. Remember that Thanksgiving's next week. Can't believe that. We'll be back on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, and then be off Thursday and Friday because of Thanksgiving and getting ready for Radiothon, and then 12 hours on Monday the 28th. Get your entries in. You have this is it. Today's the last day to get your Radiothon voicemails in. We want to hear about your fantasy ride. We're getting some really good ones. And we have over $4,200 in prizes. We have all our guests booked and ready to go, so it should be a lot of fun. But we'll be back here on Monday with another show. Don't forget to listen on our app, and this will be the first year you can listen to the Radiothon on our app live as well. Go to iOS or Android and search Horse Radio Network. Download it. It's free and it's easy, and I do recommend, if you're listening on your app on the 28th on Cyber Monday, to all 12 hours, be connected to Wi-Fi. Because you really don't want that coming off your data plan. So be connected to Wi-Fi, and don't blame me if you don't listen. And I have a special treat here. I'm going to play out the show today with some of the voicemails we got from last year, just to get you in the mood for what you can do with yours. But you can also just keep it simple and send it in. You don't have to be super talented we're not super talented, and we do the show. Our listeners are just more talented than we are. So that's it. Thank you, Jamie. To calm down, take a deep breath.
I'm okay.
And look for seatbelts.
I really want this 14-year-old 16-1-hit thoroughbred that's gray.
There you go. It sounds perfect. Be a great lesson for
I've been riding one that's actually quiet.
Hello, I'm Bill Officer. I want to wish everybody on the HRN Network a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I've compiled a few little parodies here to sing to you. Bear with me. This was short notice. You better look out for really bad ads and get them in soon, and you might be glad, because Jamie and Glenn might read them on air. Craigslist is the best place, other ads may do. If it is the funniest one, they'll send a gift to you. Oh, you better practice hard, you need to jump high, you need to run fast, I'm telling you why, because eventing season's coming to town. The judges know if you are cheating. They'll know if you're a fake. They'll judge you if you're bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Horse poop smells, it won't go away. Oh, what fun it is to clean horse stalls every day. Thank you, God bless, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
That's Denise's husband.
The 12 Days of Denise's Christmas, husband. Presented by The Distance Depot.
On the last day of Christmas, your tack shop has for you 12 pair of riding tights, 11 SSG gloves, 10 Cashel fly masks, 9 Matrix saddle pads, 8 VMAX heart checks, 7 colorful helmets, 6 yummy meshes, 5 comfy covers, 4 electrolytes, 3 saddlebags, two hoof boots, and a tack set under your tree. Merry Christmas and happy trails.
Hi, this is a message from Breeders' Cup Classic champion Mucho Macho Man, who wanted to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday.
Here comes a Merry Christmas greeting from Sweden.
From a small island on the eastern coast called Gotland. This is an ancient Swedish Yuletide song about the careholder of the stable called Steven, or in Swedish, Staffan Stalledräng. Han vattnade sina fålar fem. Stjärnorna det indra så klara, gåsa låt oss lustiga vara. En gång blott om året så, en fröjdefull jul vi får. Femte fålen apelgrå. Staffan rida på. Stjärnorna det indra så klara, gåsa låt oss lustiga vara. En gång blott om året så, en fröjdefull jul vi får. Staffan red till källarknut. Där han var van få ölet ut. Stjärnorna det tindra så klara, gåsa låt